Everyone, welcome to Ending the Drought, a Buffalo Bills fan podcast. This is Season 3, Episode 5. I'm Jason Webster, here with your other hosts, Jeff Webster and Jake Cranston.
What Jake, up, fellas?
Jason, Jake.
Bills Mafia.
You can probably hear me pointing, Jason, Jake?
No.
Yeah. No.
Okay. You need to get like a little bell or something.
On your necks. That would be cool.
Oh, that would work. Ding-a-ding.
Now you guys are just getting weird.
It is a weird night tonight. It's very strange. There's something.
Something in the air.
Something in the air or in the beer. One or the other. There's something somewhere.
Yes. You haven't had enough of that yet.
That's no, not the beer. That's
it. We got to get back to doing our pregame shots.
Oh, shit. We
stopped them because we thought that was what was making him choke and cough the whole time.
No, that's definitely not the case. So we should definitely be back at that.
I'm good with that.
Especially during the regular season. I think it's crucial.
I got a ton of stuff out here and a ton more in the house.
We'll do a shot for every win. So if they go like 12-5, we can do 12 shots.
You're saying per episode?
Yeah, no.
So every time they win, we add a shot to what we do.
Yeah, the first week we do a shot. If they win, this next week we do two.
And then if the Bills go undefeated, we die.
Yeah. We call an ambulance and we all
somebody comes down with alcohol poisoning?
Yeah, no. Pass.
Ending the life of Buffalo Bills fan podcast?
Hard pass.
No, I just like the fact that I miss doing the pregame shot.
Me too. Yeah. Me too. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And we'll get some different shit to drink and try some new stuff.
I'm good with that.
I'm in.
For sure.
Yep.
Crown Royal.
So, I was just going to bring up, Jay made a nice upgrade to our mics. Fathead? Is that how you say it?
Yep.
Fathead. So, if anybody is listening to the podcast when we put this out that notices a difference in the audio quality, we can hear it tremendously. Yeah, so, hopefully, it translates to the listeners out there because these things are great.
Yeah. So far, so good.
You can never tell. Really good. You can never tell whether you just want it to be better because you spent so much money.
Right.
But I think it did make a difference.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
I really can tell on my part. I mean, the biggest thing that I can tell, like I was saying to you, is without these, I feel like the echo is more prevalent, you know, within the mic. So
true.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
These are awesome.
I agree. 100%.
Kudos to Jay on looking
Good
these
vibe.
Up and picking these out because I don't think I would have really even thought of that. So
and then the other part of our studio issue currently is that we don't really have a lot of furniture in here and we're sitting kind of close to each other, so there's a little bit of audio bleed into each other's mics. Eventually, here we're gonna move a couch out here, sit a little further apart, and the couch will help absorb noises as well, cut down on that reverb, and ultimately it should be a lot better.
Yeah, we're trying to do some good upgrades. One of the biggest things that we did was the Fathead. We're gonna try to eventually get into some video. I think, right, guys? That's kind of one thing.
Yeah, get some new mics eventually.
Right. Maybe dabble into doing some live podcasts eventually.
Absolutely,
and then,
that would be a lot of fun. Man.
That's the most exciting part.
Yeah. I can't wait.
And then we're gonna eventually coming up here soon. I got a lav mic. And me being a season ticket holder, I go to a good chunk of the games. So we're going to do a ETD, basically live video interviews at tailgates.
Yep, talking to other fans, getting some input.
So we're going to be posting those,
putting
them on the social. I think we're talking about doing a YouTube channel for that too.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, for sure.
So we got some cool things in the mix so far. Just trying to change things up and keep it more spicy.
Spicy.
Yes.
Yeah, well, you got a plan for that too, don't you? You son of a.
Yeah, actually, Jay, why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about that real quick?
That was a lovely accidental segue.
Yeah, thanks.
Right.
Yeah, I have a knack for that kind of bullshit.
We talked about this, I think back in January or February, we came up with this idea.
Yeah.
And ultimately, what we want to do is we're going to do a new segment separate from our podcast. As soon as this is over, we're going to record it, and it's going to be called Sauce Quest. And so each time we do a podcast, we're going to try reviewing some new sauces. And the whole point is that eventually, by the end of it, we should be able to create our own hot sauce, as well as potentially, if we do enough of it, a barbecue sauce for Jake, because Jake has his own food truck, Jake and the Fat Man Barbecue. He's always looking for new stuff.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
it's already fantastic. So it's only going to be better.
Yeah. And we're going to review as many as we possibly can, whether it's right now we have a bunch of them, but whether it's one a week, three a week, we don't really know. But we'll just, burn through them until we think we've figured out sauce.
Right. Right. And these sauces, don't forget to mention, they're from Dilly Dally's.
Yes,
Spices and Sauces right here in Springville. So
place to go, dude.
Shout out to him.
You.
Yeah.
So got a ton of shit.
They have hundreds of things.
For a small store, man, he has a ton of stuff.
Great stuff.
So rubs, sauces, you name it.
Yep. So that's where we're getting the sauces from, and it's gonna be cool. Yeah, we got some good stuff to go through, and I'm very excited.
I don't mind going through it. I'm a little concerned about it going through me.
Ooh, it will definitely clever. Go through you.
Ba-dum boom.
For sure.
Yeah. So. Okay. Like I said, it's strange. There's something in the air. It might be hot sauce.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, let's talk about the Colts game real quick before we move on to the next thing, huh?
I'll tell you what. Colts, I believe, played most of their starters through the entire first quarter.
Yeah.
It wasn't all that impressive. You know what I mean?
I didn't get to see. So I missed a little bit of the first.
The very beginning.
Actually, I think I missed almost the whole first quarter.
I missed part of it too. So I don't know. Yeah. I don't think Jonathan Taylor played.
I don't think so.
Matt Ryan did play
a little bit.
Yep. He was okay. But I mean, it's a new team, new quarterback. It's preseason game.
Sure.
I'm sure everything's very vanilla. But yeah, the Bills held their own, and it was our second team guys, third team guys, no starters played.
Rookie spotlight on some of these guys, right?
Dude, yeah.
That's the biggest thing. I mean, if certain guys play good, great for them. But the biggest thing that I liked in my eyes was the strip sack from Boogie Basham.
Yeah, that was really cool.
And then Terrell Bernard picking that thing up and running it back almost 50 yards for a touchdown.
That dude is fucking fast.
He's got wheels on him.
Yeah. I'll tell you, he's another one.
That was awesome to see.
He's doing well.
So Boogie Basham strip sack, that was a good one. Barkley, when he came in, he played good.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Keenum for just a quick second.
Well,
just did not look good.
Yeah, and I think part of it might be, obviously, again, same thing with Matt Ryan, a new team. Everything's brand new for him, where Barkley is basically picking up where he left off, not last year, but year before. Mm. So he already has a pretty good handle on the offensive scheme. It has changed a little bit, of course. Dable's gone. But I don't think it's changed dramatically. Maybe some verbiage and stuff. But, Case Keenum, I don't think has played more than a handful of games over the course of the last couple, 3 years. I don't think he's played a bunch. But, yeah, he did not look good.
That's just not a – when he turned the ball over three times.
Well, yeah, right. Fumbled once and I think
– Two picks, right?
Two picks, yeah.
But, I mean, like you said, the preseason's pretty vanilla. I mean, they're not calling anything intricate in
right,
his plays.
Right,
you know? So the fact that he just – I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and say, you know.
Right. He's unfortunately.
Case sucks, but man, that's
yeah, they're
tough
paying
to
him
see.
A fair yeah. amount of money, and he's probably going to be the backup.
Well, you only get one first, you know, reaction to it, and unfortunately, he didn't have a great showing. But yeah. maybe it'll get better.
Yeah, and there's, I mean, two more games before the season starts, so.
Yeah.
He should have a little more time.
I heard somewhere that it was like a $2.5 million dead cap hit if they cut him, so. They got some money invested there. We'll see how it plays out. I think he'll get better. I think he'll be better next game. He went to a championship game. We talked about that before. So,
right. You
know, he has had some success in the NFL. But, yeah, hopefully you won't see either of these guys
the entire season, except when
the Bills are blowing somebody out and they need somebody to carry the ball the last, you know, 10 or 15 minutes.
Yeah.
But.
Don't want to see that.
Yeah, we don't want to see Josh leaving it for anything other than just a rest. That's it.
No,
nope.
But besides that, I mean, Barkley, they were down 24-10. Barkley brought him back to tie up the game. So that's cool to see.
You can't argue the guy played well.
No.
I mean, that first pass, I think it was his first pass, was I think the one to Shakir.
Mm-hmm.
And that was great touch on that ball. That was like in a perfect spot.
That was a nice touchdown.
Shakir was about the only one who could really catch that ball. That was
so. Ken Dorsey said Khalil Shakir didn't miss a beat for a rookie, and that was a huge eye opener for Ken Dorsey because guys coming into this league, and for a rookie to be that prepared and not have any hiccup whatsoever, and he had a lot of offensive snaps.
The amazing thing is he was 5 for 5.
Yeah,
nothing got past him. So
it's good. It's refreshing to see because. Gabe Davis was that guy his first year. He was very prepared. He came in. He soaked in the playbook real quick. And he was a guy where you're like, all right, he can come out and he can play right away.
The funny thing is I see correlations between like Dawson Knox and Gabe Davis in the fact that both very athletic,
right.
But both of them can make the tough catch. They struggled with the easy catch.
Sure.
Shakir does well so far. I mean, it's so only five throws, right, and he's caught them all. But yeah.
Well, that's all they're talking about is how strong his hands are.
Yeah,
you know, like they're
and
saying,
his head.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. For sure. But I mean, the same thing with Kari Elam. He,
yep,
you know, wanted the playbook on the plane. Like he's that guy. He's the. It's again, like I go back to 10, 15 years ago, and even Tasker was saying it on GR today when I was we were listening to it. Maybe it was earlier, but he was like, look, when I came out of college, they were calling this playing that. And I was like, huh? Like, what, yeah, are we, right, what are we doing?
Right.
And he's like, now you got guys that are watching more film than they are on the football field.
Right.
So it's, yeah, it's cool to see like these guys, how smart they are and how well prepared they are in the classroom, so to speak.
Absolutely.
To be able to take it and translate it on the football field.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
So
there's another guy we probably should talk about too.
Who's that?
Another wide receiver that we've been waiting on for a few years.
Oh, Hodgins?
Mr. Hodgins.
He
had a game.
It was refreshing to see him be able to make plays. And again, I'm pulling for him to make this squad, man.
Me too. I'd love to see him make the squad. There's talk that I guess he hasn't always shown up to be the fastest guy in the field. They were talking on GR about the fact that he ran like a 4.61 or something, and Quentin Morris actually ran like a 4.89 or, yeah, you know, as a tight end. So he's not the fastest guy in the world. But, again, I think he was 7 for 9. I like caught 7 out of 9 balls thrown, yeah, his way. That's not horrible.
What was
like,
the biggest knock on Jerry Rice? He's speed.
Yeah, right.
He wasn't fast.
Right.
You know,
well,
Andre
look
Reed.
At Jake Kumerow. It's not like Jake Kumerow's tearing shit up out there.
Right.
He's just a big guy. He's a big target.
Right. But, I mean, like, even Andre Reed. He wasn't extremely fast.
He knew how to get open, though.
Route running, the body position,
yep,
how to catch the ball, like all these different things make receivers great, not just speed.
Absolutely.
But you're right. I mean, Hodgins, it's just he's been in the squad for 3 years, so it'd be nice to see
him. I would love to see him make the squad.
Yeah.
I would love to see that.
Same here. A couple other rookies real quick. Christian Benford. He had a really good preseason show out. He had like 2 or 3 good pass breakups. Kair Elam was the most targeted corner on our defense through the whole preseason game, and he made some good plays. So
he did.
It's good to see guys coming up and making plays. Baylen Specter, our linebacker, made good plays. So again, it's good to see these young guys looking like they're well prepared.
And that's what you want, right?
Making plays.
Yeah,
you know,
compete.
That's great.
Come out and compete. They know that's what's required, and they held their own. They did good.
100%.
Yeah.
So moving on, we also wanted to get into, because there's not we're still in kind of like the limbo of the season, this preseason, but who wants to talk about preseason like for a whole episode, right? So we're
I agree.
We're kind of sitting there spitballing earlier today about, all right, what should we do differently on the episode
today?
Yeah,
what can we talk about? Right.
So we came up with what some of our top favorite football movies are personally of all time. We all have our top three that we really like.
Right.
So we're just going to kind of just talk about that. And you know, hopefully, you know, listeners out there can relate to some of these movies or
absolutely
even comment on our socials of what you guys think are good.
Well, I'm sure that a lot of the people listening are, you know, younger than at least Jeff. So his opinion on what's a good
everybody
football movie might be something no one's ever seen before. So maybe you learn something.
Absolutely. Well, but why don't you start us off, Jeff?
Well, and before we do that, actually, we got to go to commercial break real quick. We're going to run our ad and and we'll be right back. We are very excited to tell you about our new partnership with a great company right here in Springville, New York, Dilly Dally's Spices and Sauces. Owner-operator Dylan Wheeler started Dilly Dally's to find the most epic spice blends this world has to offer. And from that quest, he has collected a massive variety of gourmet and specialty products. We're talking 274 hot sauces, 147 barbecue sauces, and 125 barbecue rubs. They have spices, seasonings, drink mixes, even locally made cheeses from Cuba Cheese Shop and Yancey's Fancy. It doesn't matter whether you're a spice fiend looking for a new flavor for your hot wings or you just want to try a new Bloody Mary mix, you'll find it at Dilly Dally's. Trust us, you won't find a better variety anywhere else in Western New York. You can find Dilly Dally's at 53 East Main Street in Springville. Just look for the logo of the cool hot pepper with sunglasses on it. Tell Dylan that Ending the Drought podcast sent you and he will give you 10% off your order. He also has online ordering that ships products all over the state. His website is dillyspices.com. That's D-I-L-L-Y spices.com. And we're back.
Hey, guys.
Bills Mafia, we are back.
Now, you wanted me to start, you said?
One of you two. It doesn't matter to me.
You go, bro.
Well, I think that, you know, by age, my movie is the most appropriate to go first. So we'll start with Little Giants. It's something that I watched a ton when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I mean, I watched this movie to death.
I enjoyed it.
I also watched it a bunch of times, too. So
truth be told.
I like that movie.
Yeah, it's a cute movie, man.
And it's great. Like, it for me, it's everything that was sports when I was a kid, right? You want to be part of the team, even if you're not necessarily the atypical player, which not everyone gets to do that in America,
right.
At least, especially not back then. So to see that happen in a movie is great. It had a bunch of cool athletes that came into there.
Bruce Smith,
you know, Emmett Smith, all sorts of guys. John Madden made an appearance.
Yep.
So a football fan, very cool in that regard.
Absolutely.
And it actually had what I think was actually pretty decent football play for what was a kid's movie.
Who was your favorite actor in that movie?
Probably the blonde quarterback kid. I can't remember what his name was in the movie, but
I liked Rick Moranis.
As far as the kids.
I was just going to say that.
But I love Rick Moranis. I meant as far as the players.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
just total in that movie. Rick Moranis.
I love Rick Moranis so much.
Love Rick Moranis. Yeah.
But it was also such a shame when he quit acting.
Man. Also, what's his name? Ed O'Neill.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Ed O'Neill. For sure.
Great actor.
Playing the overbearing father.
Ed Bundy.
I would have never been able to remember his name.
Ed Bundy.
I'm terrible with names.
Yep.
I just remember as Ed Bundy, but for some reason I know it's Ed O'Neill from, I don't know how I remember it, but.
Which, you know, really cool for that guy that, like, you know, he was, you know, in that movie and now he's still acting in that, what is it, Modern Family or whatever it is?
Yes.
Like, he's been awesome his whole career.
Yeah. Some guys get lucky. I mean, you got to have some luck involved too, but yeah, he's done really, really well.
Yeah.
Good dude.
What do you got, Jeff?
I'm going to start off with an oldie but a goodie.
Yeah.
It's called The Longest Yard, way back in the day.
The new Longest Yard.
The new one.
The 1970, whatever.
The old
Burt Reynolds one.
The old Burt Reynolds one. Yep. Yes. It was just a down and dirty football movie. You know, I'm not sure anybody probably remembers that old movie, but they know the new one. It's somewhat similar storyline. But, yeah, it was a real... A real stand up against the authority kind of a movie, you know.
Well,
I think that's what people elevated.
I think it was also a remake, wasn't it? There was like a movie called Mean Machine or something, like way,
could
way
very
back,
well
it
be.
Was
I'm
like,
not positive.
It was kind of a reimagining of that, and then they did it again.
Could
with the
be.
Sandler one.
Yeah, and it was again. It had humor, but it had serious side. You know, some of these guys were serving time for a very long time. So yeah, it was just a good movie. Like I said, it was just a. For people who like football that's muddy and sloppy and messy and just fun, that was a good movie.
It did put a lot of fun into it.
It did, yeah.
The first one that hit me, and this isn't my number one, but this is one of my top favorites, probably top three, top four, Any Given Sunday. And good the movie. Reason this movie really hit me is came out in like 1999, and I was a junior in high school, so I was in the midst of playing varsity football.
Right.
You know, being an athlete. And it was the first football movie that I remember that was, like, it really portrayed football. You know, it was a very serious football movie.
Right.
Al Pacino was the head coach for the team. Cameron Diaz played his daughter. You had Jamie Foxx as the quarterback. Like, LL Cool J was in it. Lawrence Taylor, Jim Brown.
Yep.
I mean, you had some big names in this movie, and it was a really cool movie, man.
If you look at movies and inspirational speeches, like Al Pacino had a speech in that movie that was fucking epic.
Oh, God.
I mean, right up there with the hockey, the 1980 Olympic team.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
It was just well done. I mean, he's a great actor, of course, but
yeah
he had a really, really nice soliloquy of sorts that was fantastic.
Really?
I mean, it, you watch the movie and it gets you revved up, right?
It does. That's
what any good football movie should do, or any sport movie, really.
Yeah, it was awesome. So good. That's a good pick for sure.
Yeah, and I didn't know, like, I wasn't sure how good Al Pacino would really be in a football movie.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like a good...
Because Al Pacino was like, say hello to my little friend, yeah, one of those guys. Right,
yeah.
And I'm like, how is this going to translate
Dog
to being a head coach? You know,
Al Pacino, right. You know, criminal type.
But he was good, man.
He did good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah. I had a hard time with my second choice, but ultimately I decided to go with Waterboy, which really it's not much of a football movie. I mean, if we're being honest, but at the same time, I just really like it as far as, you know, it's a hilarious movie. It's one of two Adam Sandler movies that we talked about today. Spoiler
alert.
Yeah,
that's kind
of
cool.
But, you know, it just I always loved that movie when I was younger, and I still love it today. Very, very hilarious movie.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I mean, that's one movie that you cannot say that it wasn't just a really good correlation between football, but the comedy of football,
right,
with the Waterboy thing. It was really classically done to kind of match both of them together.
Well, especially because it started as just this, like, basically racist voice that he did about this stuttering Southern character.
Yes.
And then he managed to turn it into a movie that's actually genuinely good, in my opinion. Like, that's pretty cool.
And the fact that the thing that would get him the most pissed is like one was like, if you said shit about his mom.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah.
Just stuff like that got him like so pissed that he was all of a sudden this amazing football player.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. Like Adam Sandler has definitely faced criticism probably since the time he hit SNL. You know what I mean? Like, sure. But I don't know of a more creative comedic mind in movies today. I mean, well, he's just,
and there's,
he's
something
really good. He's not afraid to take a chance either.
Well, there's something about it. Like, when you think about physical comedians, like, I think of people like Chris Farley, you know, people who are
absolutely
all over the place.
Right.
I don't typically think of Adam Sandler, but there's something about in Waterboy and in Happy Gilmore, the impact that he can show. You
right
know what I mean? Like,
right,
when
yep
he jumps and drop kicks a football player, I cringe like every time.
Yep.
And it's the same thing when he runs up and smacks that ball. It's like it just hits you right. Like, it's
yep
like, oh, shit, that was good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's
just good shit.
Adam Sandler, to me, is one of my top 3 to 5 comedian actors of all time.
Yeah.
I mean,
yep,
because I grew up like with him. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
right.
Like,
yeah.
When he did SNL, he was, what, 23, 22?
Right.
You know, and I was 15, 14. So, you know, like all that stuff. That
it was relevant to you at the right time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, if we ever did TV programs, man, how would you not include SNL? You know what I mean? Like, I talk about history. Yeah. I mean, Chevy Chase and Steve Martin and the guys that came out of that. Like,
and that's more your
right,
your
the
era,
early era. Yeah. That, yeah.
Which
so
was a great
one. I think
one
it touches everybody that ever.
And a fun
followed the show.
Fun point, by the way, Steve Martin was never a cast member.
Right.
He hosted 15 times.
Yeah, he was the, like one
that
of
is
the,
crazy.
The yep most guest appearances, I think, on SNL
yep
was Steve Martin.
That's crazy, man.
But that made his career to a certain extent. You know what I mean? The
yeah
first time he showed up, he was a comedian, but he was just a comedian.
Right.
But his genius just took it further.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm going to go with Remember the Titans. Like, I'm sure you
one
guys remember that movie.
It's a great movie.
It involves a lot of race, a lot of social issues that were prevalent in the time period it was made, and the friendships that can, if you can ever look past your own prejudice, you might not miss out on a really, really good relationship. So that is a big part of the story. You know, there's a relationship between a coach and his assistant coach, and that assistant coach's daughter is involved. And yeah, it's just the story just builds so wonderfully. And like you in playing football, you know how demanding a coach can be. Nobody
yeah
was more demanding than Denzel Washington in his role as that coach. Can't think of his name, but yeah, just a fantastic movie. Like, you laugh, you know, you'll cry. Like, I mean, it's just one
well
of those movies. It's fucking just all over the place, but it's fantastic.
Yeah, and it would have made my list too. We decided not to do any overlapping.
Correct.
But it definitely would have
correct
been one of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I love, it's not necessarily everyone's style of coaching, but the idea that if I back them into a corner and push them hard enough, they will all come together to overcome it and to hate me.
Right.
Like, and that's
right,
that's totally what his plan was. Like,
yep,
they will be a team. I will make them a team. It's
right
just such a cool concept.
Yeah, it's a way to build respect, I think.
Yes.
Respect for each other And in turn, you know, and again, I'm not saying Sean McDermott is this guy, but he also is very demanding of his players. He expects them to put 100% effort at all times.
Yep.
And it means something, you know, and that's kind of where that movie was at too.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was a drive for perfection.
There are very few movies that, you know, I really feel capture the spirit of basically what sports are for.
Yeah.
You know, like what being a team member is.
Yep. Yeah, true.
It's a good one. I like that. I'm going to probably go with, if I may here, there's two movies that I have to split down the middle.
Absolutely.
So the two that for me is Friday Night Lights and Varsity Blues. And those two really got me good because they really spoke to, like, Varsity Blues, for instance, came out in 1999.
Right.
Friday Night Lights came out in, like, 2003, 2004. So, again, 99, I was a junior approaching my senior year in high school. And Varsity Blues was really spoke to, like, what high school football really is almost. You know what I
right.
mean? It's,
right.
It, that movie was just awesome. You know, it just had a lot of, you know, the – had cheerleader and the quarterback, yeah. you know, boyfriend, girlfriend thing and the head coach and, you know, the, you know, if the quarterback's not good enough, you're not making the team. And, you know, the kid, his parents were like, you got to get your grades up to get, you know, all that type of stuff just all played into that movie, you know?
Right. And it resonated with what you were going through at the time.
Yeah. Just a lot of things that just really speak of like what it's really like. And then Friday Night Lights, just a really good movie in general. I mean, Billy Bob Thornton was the head coach in that movie. Tim McGraw was in it. I can't remember what he played exactly, but that was a cool movie too. Because
good movie. Really good.
So I didn't grow up with Friday Night Lights. My one buddy, I can't remember if one of his friends, grew up in Texas, and Friday Night Lights in Texas was like huge.
Oh, sure.
So
absolutely.
Just kind of learning, because that's pretty much what that movie was about. It took place in Texas, a Texas high school football team. And those teams were like college teams in high school.
Yeah.
But again, just another movie that just really just kind of spoke like, man, like high school football is a real thing, you know. It's like it's a school. So
it really is.
Those two really
locally
really,
people in area in Springville. They
I mean,
put a lot of time and effort, and they definitely admire their team. You know.
Yeah, and I grew up going to. I didn't play for Springville. I played for West Valley. We didn't really have a lot of night games. We didn't have the lights and stuff. But I grew up going to Friday night games, watching my cousin and stuff like that play. And there was always a buzz in the air for GI to be good, and you wanted them to be good, because when I was in the early 90s, I don't know if you guys remember, they won the state championship in 1998.
Yep.
So I remember, I didn't go to the school, but I knew all the kids that played, because I played with them in Pee Wee and stuff. And the buzz was so big in this town, man.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely. So big in this town. So me going to games later on, you know, people still wanted that same type of buzz, but they just never were the same. They never had that talent again.
Right.
Like that team. So, and my wife was one of the cheerleaders for that team, which is cool.
Nice.
So she always tells me stories about that team and stuff, which is pretty neat, because I knew a lot of those kids. And I'm like, if I went to Springville, I could have been on that team, you know?
Yeah, it's true.
So
it's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes it goes that way, but
it is.
What else? Wasn't it the Wildcats? Name? West Valley Wildcats.
West Valley Wildcats, yep.
Yeah.
There sure. you go.
Yeah.
It's a cool name.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's solid.
For my third movie, I picked The Replacements, which is, you know, it's Gene Hackman, Keanu Reeves, a bunch of great guys.
Great movie.
John Favreau.
Wesley Snipes.
One of the first things that I saw him in, not his first role, but, you know,
right.
a fantastic role. No, not Wesley Snipes.
No?
No.
I thought he was in it.
No. Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was Orlando Jones.
Oh, yeah. He was in it.
But anyway, so the movie is basically, if you haven't watched it, it's about a group of guys who are basically scabs because an entire NFL team goes on strike. And so they have to find guys who are like
the whole league, you know, right?
Was it? I don't know. Just the team.
Oh. Gotcha.
So they're you know, basically just people who never made it, or they're prisoners or whatever. You know, maybe people who've never even played football have to come together and try and play in a league full of normal teams, which, you know, I love adversity movies. So for me, it's actually very similar to Little Giants in a way. It's like a, you know, an outcast team, ragtag group of guys.
Right.
But yeah, it's just really fun. And yeah, I picked all three comedies. It's definitely my genre, you know?
Yeah. It's a great movie. I like how it starts where, it shows Keanu Reeves down in the bottom of the ocean or whatever. And and he picks up the trophy found on the bottom, and he's doing like hot, hot, and he throws it underwater, and he comes up. And then when you're talking about like all the different scabs, like you had the kicker that was like this big drinking, smoking,
he's wiry
Irish
British guy
or British guy soccer player.
He's skinny, but he's wiry.
Yeah. And then you had the two like big starting offensive linemen were bodyguards.
So, right.
You know, like that was
the wide receiver that can't catch shit.
He was like
just really fast,
super fast. And that really kind of speaks to what you find in the NFL too, right?
Yeah.
Like guys that can fly, but guys can't catch. But it was a super good movie. I've seen that movie probably at least a dozen times. You know, if I'm flipping through the channels and it's on, I'm watching it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard to be more of an underdog than any of those people were. You know,
the weird thing
you're playing against people who are supposed to be way better than you. You haven't gotten any time to practice together, and the whole world hates you because you're basically a scab and nobody wants to watch you play anyway.
Right. I have this habit of taking movies and turning them into like real life situations of sorts. So, for example, two things that stand out to me in this movie is they're having a conversation about, you know, what can happen during a football game. You know, what are you afraid of?
Yeah.
And for Keanu Reeves, it was quicksand. And he explained that, like, when things are going bad, the harder you try to make them go right, the worse it gets. It's like standing in quicksand. So that one always stood out for me.
Great analogy.
And a very quotable movie.
Yeah. And then the one where he's saying, the coach says that, like, the guy that wants to win is the guy that when the game's on the line, he wants the ball in his hands.
Yep.
That's what a winner is. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, absolutely.
And then I just relate things like that to like the Buffalo Bills, even against Tennessee last year.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The game's on the line. He slips. They lose. But he put that on his shoulders. He took that responsibility.
Big time.
To take that chance. So that's what a leader does, you know? And
yep.
Yeah. It's just very relatable movie. Exactly like you said. It's in so many different areas. It's just a good movie. I agree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you say your third one?
My third one is a movie that more popular back in the day. It's an older movie. It's about Gale Sayers, Brian Piccolo, players for the Chicago Bears back in the 60s. Mm-hmm. And it's called Brian's Song. It was based on a book that was written. And it basically covers a period of time when even in football, black and white players didn't share rooms together. So one of the first two players were a pair of running backs, Brian Piccolo and Gale Sayers, that shared rooms when they traveled. And the story is all about their relationship. Ultimately, Brian Piccolo gets cancer and what he goes through, and Gale Sayers gets injured. This is before the cancer, and Brian Piccolo keeps pushing him to rehab, to get better, to get stronger, to get back to the game. So again, it's that relationship, you know, how two people that basically should not be friends are. And yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah, it's just a really good movie. Again, just speaks a lot about social issues and things like that, but people overcoming adversity. And that's very cool.
Yeah, that's cool. And it really translates to like to real life or real sports teams or just playing sports in general. Sometimes you play a sport and you might play on the same team as a kid you don't like at all.
Right.
And that team eventually forces your relationship to either coincide or it breaks what should be a good team or maybe, you know, so it's.
The message is timeless. Exactly. I mean, it really is. Yeah, it's going to carry on forever. There's always going to be some sort of race issue or tension between people. And sometimes you can overcome that.
Yeah, and I think that's part of the formula of what makes a great story and football movie in general, is there's always some sort of a person who needs help or someone who's being ostracized or, you know, something, and right. and it's the team coming together to overcome that issue and help them, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's a very cool thing that we have so many great examples of all these different movies of what it is to be a good human, a good teammate, you know, and the important things in life.
Yep.
No, absolutely. My third movie, sorry that I split the one, but
no, that's cool.
My third movie is the 2005 The Longest Yard with Adam Sandler in it.
That's
a classic to me.
Again.
It's just, again, you get Adam Sandler with his almost kind of genius in the way he can bring the comedy in with the storyline was great. You know,
him being
a professional quarterback and being in the spotlight and just fucking hating it, and his stuck up wife trying to make him be at this party and he doesn't want to be anything to do with it, and gets arrested because he's speeding down a highway drinking.
Yep.
You know, and he's like yelling with the camera in his face in a helicopter.
Yeah, right.
He's like, I think we need, whatever he said, I think we need time apart or whatever, you know, and then just going to that Texas state prison. And
yep.
It's just the whole storyline of everything, of how he put it together.
Right.
You know, from the original, it really worked well. And I think,
it did.
You know, the talent he brought in to play, you know, these guys in this movie was awesome. You know,
and it fit the time period he made it too.
Yeah.
Like he, you know, it's hard sometimes when you're remaking a movie that's from a different time, an era, to bring it up to date that people can relate to it. Yeah, I thought he did a great job.
Yeah, and if you remember certain guys like Jay, you remember the rapper Nelly.
Yep.
He was the star running back for the team.
Yep.
You know, just like Bill Romanowski was in it as a guard.
Yeah, it was Meggett or something, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yep.
The name of the guy?
Dave exactly. Meggett, yeah.
Yep. So, I mean, there's a lot of cool pieces of you know, characters, guys in there, football players. So it was cool. I really enjoyed that movie. I personally probably watched it at least 8 to 10 times.
Sure. Yeah, I think I might have watched it more than that, actually.
Yeah.
It's a really good movie.
It is.
Absolutely.
And actually, it's one of Lindsay's favorites too.
Is it?
Yeah. She loves that movie.
That's great. No, that's a good list, fellas.
Yeah.
I
it was a lot of fun.
I enjoy a lot of them. There's other ones that would have made my list too. I had Rudy in there.
Yeah.
You know, there's other ones in there, but as far as like,
yeah, sometimes it's hard trimming them down.
It is. Cause there's a lot of good sports movies out there. Not even just football movies. I mean, I don't know.
Sports in general. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
for sure.
Baseball movies. There's, the one with Brad Pitt, where he does all the, I can't remember the name of it. Moneyball.
Ready? Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Moneyball.
That's definitely a
movie. Great movie.
Yeah, it is. That's you a really know? Good movie.
Very different from all the other sports movies.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. The analytics and stuff that they really come out to show you, like, how that can work in sports.
Well, I mean, and how they change sports. I mean, literally, that's what the movie's all about.
Right.
Everybody did it after that.
Yeah.
It was just a completely unheard of idea to just pick certain statistics and just run with it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was, in a way, it was kind of like the movie The Replacements.
Yeah.
Because they took a bunch of guys that had no success in Major League Baseball, but found different ways to use them in a game, you know, based on analytics, and it worked out. And it's a really interesting movie and how they could do shit like that.
Yeah, man. people who are into, you know, min-maxing and using players to their fullest potential in certain ways and stuff like that, or stat heads, like, that's a great movie.
Yeah. Yep. It is. Cool.
Yeah, very cool.
Does that do us for tonight, guys?
I think so.
Yeah, so I think the only thing left to say would be, you know, look for our first episode of Sauce Quest. It's going to be a brief little mini pod, so it's not going to be very long. We're just going to name the sauces, give them a score, little review, and that'll be it. And we'll post those on our Ending the Drought page. It's not going to have its own unique page. It's just going to be a little blurb that shows up in there.
Yep.
And we will eventually, hopefully, make this a video thing where we can show you the sauces as we're trying them and what the bottles look like. In the meantime, we'll post pictures on them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The video would be great to show.
It would be a good way to do it.
How hard we're all sweating, you know?
Yeah,
yeah, no doubt.
Yeah,
yeah. So pick up the tears.
Yeah. So sure. How it's this one, and you know. But Jay, why don't you finish it off with telling them how to listen to the pod?
Yeah, you can look for us on Anchor. That's where we host our podcast, or Apple, Spotify, wherever you like to get it. And make sure you check us out on social. It's the only way you're going to see Sauce Quest. That's at ETD Buffalo on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. We have the Broncos up next coming this Saturday.
Yeah, man.
1 o'clock game in Orchid Park at Highmark Stadium. So make sure you tune in and watch that game and see how these rookies and some of these backups do. So
hell yeah.
Absolutely.
We're getting closer and closer, guys. So
it's coming fast.
It's exciting. Just want to end it with, where else would you rather be than right here, right now? Go Bills.
Go Bills.